Welcome to sermons from St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Minot, North Dakota.
St. Paul's is anchored in the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and for the world.
The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. What is it that we eat and drink this evening? What is it that we eat and drink this evening? What is it that Christ instituted long ago in that upper room with his disciples? What is it? Now, many people will answer this by saying that communion, yes, the Lord's Supper, communion itself is nothing more than, get this, a symbol. Yes, a symbol. They will say that the bread and the wine are visible signs. Signs of Christ's body and blood crucified on the cross. And so, according to this way of thinking, communion is definitely important, no doubt about it. But it is really not that important because it is really not the real thing. Now, let me explain this a bit more. You see, as a symbol, according to this way of thinking, communion points to what is genuinely important. You see, symbols themselves are pictures of a real thing, but they're actually not the real thing. In the end, signs, well, they're merely signs. Symbols are merely symbols, nothing more. They point beyond themselves to something else, something real, something much grander and better. Now, it's important to unpack this even more. You see, if the bread that we eat and the wine that we drink in communion, if they are signs and symbols, then they're like actually arrows. They're arrows that point our attention to the body and blood of Christ on the cross. In other words, the red wine points away from itself to remind us of the blood of Christ on the cross. And the bread, well, it points us away from itself to remind us of the body of Christ that suffered on the cross. And so, according to this way of thinking, the eating of the bread and the drinking of the red wine, they are again signs. They are signs that point us to what is really important, the body and blood of Christ on the cross. The bread and wine, they're good, no doubt about it. According to this way of thinking, they're good, but they're not as important as Christ on the cross, which is why the bread and the wine are understood in a figurative sense, in a figuratively way of thinking. The bread and the wine are to be eaten and drank, which then actually inspires the mind and the heart to conjure up all sorts of images and pious feelings of Jesus dying on the cross. Again, according to this way of thinking, the bread itself represents the body of Christ, and the wine itself represents the blood of Christ, which then brings about certain thoughts in the mind, certain pious feelings in the heart, images, if you will, nothing more. Now, if this is what communion is really about, then we could indeed agree that this is important. Communion is important. It's good. However, if this is what communion is really about, we might beg the question of this: is it really that important to take communion every single week? After all, how often must a person be reminded of the shed blood and body of Christ on the cross? Once a week? Maybe once a month? Maybe, well, four times a year. Furthermore, if communion is nothing more than a symbol or a sign, or let's say it this way, a representation, well, do the pastors and the elders need to be reverent with the bread? Yes, reverent with the bread and the wine. Do we actually need to bow before a mere symbol? Do we need to show such reverence before a figurative meal? Do the elders and the altar circle need to handle the bread and the wine with awe and reverence if the bread and wine are just signs, just symbols, mere representations of something greater? Now, dear friends, it is important to take note that there's actually a point to all of this. There's a direct link, yes, there's a direct link between a church's theology about communion itself and the practices surrounding the Lord's Supper itself. In other words, hear this very clearly. The more a church sees communion as a symbol, a sign, a representation, that is, the more that we see the bread and the wine as a symbol, a sign, a representation, a figurative meal, the less frequent the church will partake of the Lord's Supper. Furthermore, the more a church sees communion as a symbol, a sign, a representation, or a figurative meal, the less reverence, yes, you heard that correctly, the less reverence a church will have, the church and her members will have with respect to handling and receiving the bread and the wine. You see, that supper long ago, when Jesus was in that upper room, as we heard in our gospel reading and our epistle as well, when Jesus was in that upper room with his disciples, he took bread and wine and he said these words, "This is my body. This is my blood." Now take special note that Jesus said nowhere in the Gospels, he did not say, "This bread is a sign or a symbol of my body." He never gives the impression to the disciples that the wine is a figurative picture of his blood, as if the wine represents his blood. Jesus did not hold up the wine in that chalice and hold it up to his disciples and say, "Disciples, take a long look. Look at this wine. Now close your eyes as you look at this wine and smell this wine. And then in your mind, I want you to visualize my blood. From here on out, every time that you drink this wine, I want this red wine to help your mind visualize my blood." The cup of wine will be a super helpful symbol to get your mind and heart set upon the bloody cross. No, Christ, he did none of this. Instead, on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took the cup, he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup, is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And so, to the point, the bread that we eat and the wine that we drink, they're not mere symbols. They're not signs. They're not mere representations. They're not memory aids, if you will. Indeed, they're not merely memory aids, things that are used to somehow stir up our minds and our imaginations, get the juices flowing in our head. They actually do not point beyond themselves to something more real and more powerful, as if they're insufficient symbols. The bread and the wine are not pious tools that help you and me eat and drink of Jesus spiritually somehow in our heart. No, they're none of this. All of these ways of thinking, they actually diminish. Yes, they diminish the importance of the power of the Lord's Supper, of what it actually is. Now, dear baptized saints, when your Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper that night long ago, he intended for it to be received by Christians as a gift, as a profound gift. Furthermore, when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, we take the plain and the very simple words of Jesus as literally as possible, knowing that when we receive the bread and the wine, we are literally receiving the body and blood of Christ under the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of our sins. And so right here in this moment, in this place, in this time, right here at this table, right here, this table, at this altar, we do not receive pieces of bread and sips of wine that signify an absent body and an absent blood of Christ. Instead, here at this altar and at this very table, at this very rail itself, the very body and blood of Christ are truly and essentially present and given to each and every one of you. Think of that, how profound that is. Here at the altar, you eat and drink his blood and his body as he bids us to do in his own holy scriptures. And so when you come to this altar, You do not need to utilize the bread and the wine to get your heart and mind somehow geared up to somehow attach to Jesus' body and blood in a far distant place. No, it does not work this way. Instead, when you gather here, when you gather here at this altar, you receive the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and the wine for you. Therefore, at this Lord's Supper, at this Lord's table, at this communion, there is nothing, get that, there's nothing held back from you. Nothing held back from you. Jesus, he fully gives of himself, his body and blood for you, to grant you forgiveness, to give you a clean conscience, to strengthen your faith, and to give you a foretaste of the feast to come. Nothing held back. At this rail, you have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. You lack nothing at this rail, and you have received everything. And so this brings up a sense of application, a sense of pondering the greatness of what this Lord's Supper is, and that is this. Why do we have communion over 125 times a year at St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in this sanctuary? The answer? Because the Lord's Supper is not a symbol, it's not a sign or a representation, but the true body and blood of Christ for you. Yes, for you. Why do we bow at the communion rail before receiving the Lord's Supper? Why does the pastor take and hold the bread and the wine high in the air when he comes out to deliver communion to those sitting in the pew? Why do we have a silver chalice? Why do we have a beautiful tile floor? And why does the pastor wear a decorative chasuble? The answer? Because the Lord's Supper is not a symbol, a sign, or representation, but the true body and blood of Christ for you. Get this, why did the elders not dump the remaining wine in the sink, the wine that we have left over from the Lord's Supper, why did the elders not take that wine and down it down the drain into the sewer with all the other waste of minot? The answer, because the Lord's Supper is not a symbol, a sign, or a representation, but the true body and blood of Christ for you. Why is communion delivered, get this, over 300 times a year, over 300 times a year to shut-ins and those in the hospital? The answer? Because the Lord's Supper is not a symbol, a sign, or a mere representation, but the true body and blood of Christ for you. Why do we wake up every Sunday morning and drag ourselves, our tired and lazy bodies, out of bed to this sanctuary with the need of coffee and all that goes with that, when the rest of the world sleeps in? Why do we drag our tired bodies out of bed into the sanctuary when the rest of the world sleeps in? The answer, because the Lord's Supper is not a symbol, a sign, or a representation, but the true body and blood of Christ for you. And so you, who are spiritually hungry, you who are spiritually thirsty, come to the table this night, which has been prepared for you. For in this Lord's Supper, you will be nourished and you will be refreshed by the true body and blood of our Savior. You who feel the weight of your sin, the guilt of your failures, and the sting of death, come to the table. For here, at this table, you receive the real forgiveness and life and salvation of Christ in the true body and blood of Christ for you. Come and receive, baptized saints. The Lord, he does not hold back. He gives his true body and his blood for you are his and he is yours. Indeed, come and receive the body and blood of Christ this evening and the Lord's Supper, a holy meal instituted for you that holy Thursday long ago for you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thy strong word bespeaks us righteous, bright with thine own holiness.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon.
You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog
at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit St. Paul's website
at www.stpaulsminot.org.
The Lord bless and keep you.